Sport on RTE Radio 1.
Des is here now with Sport. Des, it's all ahead of you at the weekend, but you were teasing us during the promo, that big Olympic story.
Well, no, I didn't say it was big. I said it was my favourite. It was just it was a big difference. It's just an image in my head. It's kind of irrelevant in the wake of global crashes, but the image that came into my head, the captain of the Japanese gymnastics team has been sent home in disgrace for smoking and drinking in the camp. I just had the image of her with a butt in her mouth on the beam. But it's the start of athletes getting sent home for... It's a minor thing given the pressure they're under to perform well. But she's been sent home from a week out from the Olympics. But to more important things, the Open Golf. And we all have our fingers crossed for Shane Lowry. So from Troon, here's Greg Allen.
Yeah, Des, I was standing by the 18th green last evening, and it wasn't quite that extraordinary atmosphere in Royal Portrush on Saturday of the Open in 2019 when Lowry shot that extraordinary 63. But his walk down 18 last night was actually in that kind of territory. His 66 on day one, which he finished off with a grandstand birdie to a huge roar, leaves him on 5 under. And it looked like that mark would jointly lead until the world number 273, Daniel Brown from England, also birdied the last for a 65 and a one-stroke advantage over Lowry, who spoke to me after posting his first subpar opening round in the Open since he claimed the claret jug so famously in 2019.
It was nice. Look, it's nice to get out and shoot a good score. You know, I said to Neil before I went out, all I want is to give myself a chance here. Like, all I want is to play my way into the tournament over the next few days and go out there on Saturday evening and Sunday with a chance to win this tournament. And, you know, I've done a decent job today at putting myself in a good position, and hopefully I can keep going and keep my foot down and, you know, keep hitting the shots I see. I felt like I was very good today at just being myself and being fully aware of where the trouble was and what I needed to do on certain holes, and I'm pretty happy with that.
And about 120 feet of putts,
yeah.
A lot of them crucial.
Yeah. Look, I've played plenty of tournaments where I didn't hole anything, so when I start holding them, I'm not going to apologise to anyone, and I'm going to take it and just move on, and hopefully long may continue for the next 3 days anyway. It'll be nice. And
you, at the start of the week when we spoke in the preview, said that you weren't sure about the challenge here. You hadn't really got your head around it, but you spectacularly had your head around it today.
Yeah, look, I was brutally honest with Neil even last night. I said, I'm not sure I see this golf course really well. And, you know, maybe the change of wind direction helped me a little bit more in on the front and down on the back. But, you know, I hit the ball very solid today and I was well in control of it. And, you know, I saw the golf course pretty well today, and, like, hopefully I can keep doing that.
The roar in 18, one of your very close friends said to me there was touches of Portrush about Saturday and that roar, and, yeah. But it wasn't quite the same, obviously. But it's day one. The big difference is there's a lot of way to go here.
Yeah, a long way to go. And, like, the thing is, we play tournaments all over the world. We play a lot of events. That's the greatest walk in golf, without a doubt. And I got to experience that this evening with a big crowd there cheering me on. And that's pretty special. And you have to kind of soak that in and take it when you get it, because who knows when you're going to get it again. But I took it, I was delighted I rolled in that putt, and now I need to get on and keep going, and hopefully I'll get another roar going down 18 tomorrow on Saturday and Sunday.
And just one thing last to say is that you said that in your preview, just one more of these, that's all I want. Is that too much to ask? You remember you saying, laughed, but yeah. but you're serious now.
No, that's all I want. If I get another one, I'll probably say, just one more. Yeah, we're never happy, us golfers are never happy, and yeah, look, I think to just give myself a chance. I think that's just what I want more than anything, is to get back in the mix and, you know, feel that major Sunday afternoon. You know, I had it at the PGA this year, and I felt like I played pretty good at the US Open after my start. So, you know, hopefully I can do it. I can do it this weekend.
Shane Lowry after his round of 66, 5 under, 1 off the lead, and here's to that prospect. No other Irish broke par. Padraig Carrington, the best of them, is away shortly on 1 over. Darren Clark, 6 over. Tom McKibben is 2 over. Liam Nolan, another morning starter, on 7 over. And not till 3:10 will Rory McIlroy, in the group back way on 7 over, way off the lead, gets a chance to hopefully take a run at making the cut. Marcel Siem of Germany, incidentally, has made a run at the lead this morning. He's 3 off the pace on 3 under after 8 holes.
Great stuff. Thanks, Greg. Greg with us throughout the day. Last night's football, Shelburne progressed in the Europa Conference League. Derry City are out. Shelburne advanced after a 1-1 draw with St Joseph's in Gibraltar, gave them a 3-2 aggregate victory. It earns them over €500,000. And Damien Duff's team now face Swiss side FC Zurich after progressing in a continental competition for the first time since 2006.
I don't think I've ever seen a pretty game of football here because of the heat, the dryness of the pitch, obviously the Astro. So we always try to paint a reasonably good picture for them and let them know what to expect. And I told them this could be a war, it could be a battle at times. And it ended up that I've been mad on Gibraltar history for the last 2-3 days. I believe there's been 14 wars, 14 battles, 14 sieges, whatever you call it. And I told the guys today, this could well be the 15th. And it ended up being that. And we came out on top.
A huge win for them. Derry City were 2-0 down against FC Magpies from the first leg. They won 2-0 in 90 minutes to bring the game to extra time. Mark Connolly and Pat Hooban scored for them. They also had Adam O'Reilly sent off in the first half, but they conceded in the 112th minute and go out 3-2 on aggregate. Tonight, the FAI Cup takes centre stage. No question about the big game. Shamrock Rovers, 3 days on from the European success, go to Dalymount Park to play Bohemians. The other all-Premier Division tie is the clash of Drogheda and Dundalk. In Gaelic games, the Cork hurling manager Pat Ryan has named an unchanged team for Sunday's All-Ireland final clash with Clare. Cork's Donal Cusick is with us now to look ahead to the big game.
Thanks again, Des. August Madden Mar Rishko Gakenius Hurling Nation. For the last few years, this preview and prediction business in All-Ireland final weekend has been fairly handy. This might happen, that might happen, and then Limerick would win. This year, it's not as certain. On paper, Clare have been knocking on the door for a few years. Brian Lohan's team have been in a long war of marginal gains, seemingly getting a little bit closer every year before suffering a bad blow, but coming back again. They go well in Munster, but we got to worrying if they would ever beat Kilkenny and Croke Park, let alone Limerick. And now they're here. They've beaten Kilkenny and Limerick are gone. We can look back to the Munster Championship shootout, which Clare won by 2 points, having been 7 down at one stage and 6 up at another. We can look back, but we won't learn much. Cork back in April were in the habit of reducing themselves to 14 men. For the second week in a row, they finished short-handed. Clare were coming off the most traumatic of defeats against Limerick the previous week. Cork missed a hatful of goal chances. No green flags before half-time, 6 evenly divided in the second half. Cork's full back line looked exposed. Shane O'Donnell did what he started into county life doing. He ran riot against Cork. It was a mad afternoon, as were the two games, the draw and Clare's win in the 2013 All-Ireland final. And so, we imagine Sunday will be the same, mad shootout style game. Cork's coverage at the back has improved. In the forwards, although they scored 3 goals back in April, they cut Clare open often enough to have scored even more. If Cork leave 3 inside and Alan Connolly can rediscover the form of earlier in the season, Clare will need to get their matchups right or they risk being overwhelmed. The biggest difference this time around, though, might be confidence. Cork have got the finals before and lost them, so confidence isn't always a trump card, but few teams get a shot to the system like Cork get when things start going well. Since that April day, Cork have beaten a team going for 5 in a row twice. Things don't go much better than that. Clare have the hurlers and they have the scars. They are a serious team, but they've been more methodical than creative this season. They look to grind Cork down. We haven't seen an awful lot of Tony Kelly this year, and what we have seen hasn't been the best of him yet. He did grow into the game against Kilkenny in the second half, but how much influence he has around the middle third will have a big effect on Clare's chances. David Fitzgerald was taken off the last day out, but he has the potential to be as dangerous to Cork as Kelly could be. What can Cork do about Shane O'Donnell? He's in the leading pack for Hurler of the Year and it's hard to see him being contained. Cork's best hope is damage limitation. If Shane is closing in on Hurler of the Year, he has Dara Fitzgibbon breathing down his neck. Both players' influence and those around him will be critical. Sunday will be fast and loose. It'd be no surprise if either team wins, but the momentum is with Cork and we believe that will propel them up the steps of the Hogan Stand. We wish both teams the very best and thanks to all for listening to Hurling Nation again this year. Imoniart Gajo.
Thanks, Don Logan. A lively look at the final and up for the match tomorrow night on RTÉ 1. In rugby, the Irish under 20 team plays New Zealand this afternoon in the bronze medal game at the World Championship in South Africa. England meet France in the final. In cycling, they go into a really tough alpine stage on the Tour de France today. Tadej Pogačar keeps his 3-minute lead over Jonas Vingegaard. And we have 2 race meetings at Down Royal and Killarney.